Sparks, and we are back.
That was a rough ending.
I'm not quite sure what happened there. I'm hitting buttons, and I'm not quite sure what's happening.
Because normally they kind of fade out. That was just a harsh cut.
I mean, I think it's fair to say that I'm still very, very bad at this.
Were you ever good?
That's what I'm saying. I'm still very, very bad at this.
Okay, I'll believe that.
I mean, I used to be able to make one CD go into the next. That was about it.
I used to play one CD.
Well, I would do that too.
Yeah,
just play the whole album.
We became such lazy disc jockeys towards the latter part of our careers.
I feel we need to apologize for 25 years ago.
I don't have to. I try to apologize for as little as possible.
So we have done.
All right.
Just to recap, because I think it's important that we recap.
Absolutely.
Ron and Brian, 25th anniversary show. That's what we're calling it. Why not?
Why not?
We're 4 hours and 7 minutes into this now.
Absolutely.
We've been on the air since 4 a.m. I feel no one has been listening.
I know nobody's listened.
Hopefully people will go into the archive because apparently the automated show is coming up as being what's on right now, probably. And hopefully people will listen to us accidentally thinking
Absolutely.
It's the gospel show, and maybe we'll get a fan or two.
Should we talk about God?
No, I really feel that would go poorly.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right.
So we're in our last...
But I didn't say which God. Okay, see, that's where I think the problem occurs.
Okay.
Is that it's not God. God's not the issue. It's the division of humanity, and my God is correct, your God is wrong. As opposed to, hey, you know what? We both believe in something. Let's just rejoice in that.
Let's find that common ground.
There's nothing. It doesn't exist anymore.
I hear. So,
and by the way, I just want to let you know, my God is the right one.
Fair enough.
I had to clarify.
You had to throw that in there.
Of course.
So we're in the final hour here.
Home stretch, as we call it.
Home stretch at 9 o'clock. DJ and a half is going to come back. He's going to help run the board. They're going to be broadcasting from the original WSUA studio in Brubaker Hall.
So they're going back into the janitor's closet.
Going back into the janitor's closet, taking it back to where it began. Taking it back to the beginning.
Full circle.
To broadcast from 9 till noon.
Yes.
And then...
Do we have any idea what they're going to be doing during that time?
My assumption is playing music.
Right.
Probably talking a little bit.
And?
They'll probably play some carts, play some bumpers. They will do some other radio-specific things. No calls to action, though, as we have mentioned many, many times.
What I did get to, what I did get a kick out of was how DJ and a Half actually got, you could sense discomfort when we were talking about call to actions.
He actually
was trying to... He felt we were going to enter some a territory we shouldn't be part of.
All I can say is what he should have done during that time is make sure we knew where the dump button was. If we hadn't asked, it would be very bad right about now.
Correct. And what is the website again?
The website is wcdbfm.com.
And people can listen?
People can stream online right now.
Excellent. Interesting. Somebody just reached out, asked how they can listen.
How can I listen? How can I be part of the Ron and Brian revolution?
Absolutely. So
exactly.
All right. So let's recap. So what topics have we hit? What topics do we have left to hit?
All right. So we discussed. Let me pull up my little notes here. You know, we talked about the Trump administration. We talked about the decline of America. We talked about gun control.
I believe I espoused a few conspiracy theories.
We talked about chip technology. We touched
as in chocolate chip technology.
Yes. We talked about immigration and the Dreamers a little bit.
I felt we that was a topic that we should have hit more on. I think it would have exposed quite a bit of the fallacy of the hatred of immigrants that has become so popular.
Right.
Despite the fact that we are a nation of immigrants.
Basically. That's how we were born and grew as a country, and it's how we'll continue to grow.
Actually, I was born by cesarean section, so
Fair enough.
You know, it had nothing to do with immigration.
So we touched that. We touched about the growth of the campus, which, you know, we know your feelings on that. We did not get to perform our wedding ceremony. I don't think
I was very disappointed. However, I will say this. While we did not perform a wedding ceremony during our marathon show today, one of the things that did come out of it is that we are now ordained.
Yes.
We are ordained ministers to perform marriage ceremonies.
And I think that means we can accept donations from people too. So
that would be a call to action, Ron.
Well, no, I'm not saying that you should do that.
I don't want to tell the listeners right now to write a check to Brian Perlis at my address at 9310 Queens Boulevard. Don't do that. That would be a call to action.
So we didn't get into the Me Too movement all that much.
No, I'm not touching that one. And let's face it, that just shows you the level of sensitivity that I'm not even willing to talk about it.
I understand. But
I did have my own Bill Goss Me Too moment.
You mentioned about, you know, talking about Philadelphia possibly.
I would love to talk about Philadelphia. It's a city I've always been fascinated by.
Your vasectomy was on the topic that list too.
I'm happy to talk about it if you have any questions.
Home renovations, LeVar Ball, and the Winter Olympics. So those were some items that we haven't touched yet.
You know what? I'm going to let you pick the next topic.
No, you know what? I tend to. I've been running the board and doing things. I'd like to see. I mean, we can even continue the discussion on immigration and dreamers if you want, because we didn't touch that too much. But I will let you pick whatever you'd like.
I think you and I are on the same side of immigration.
We are, definitely.
I think, you know, we both agree that immigrants should be stopped at the border and summarily executed right then and there, right, immediately. So we should take our top video gamers, our top Call of Duty, Modern Warfare dudes, and just hand them AR-15s and say, yes, you know, when immigrants come off the planes, just shoot them down.
Seems reasonable. I mean, if you have questions about Philadelphia, you know, I've been living down outside of Philadelphia ever since I graduated, for the most part. I moved down there the August after I graduated in 93.
And if you can allow me to interrupt, you moved down there specifically because you got a job down there.
Correct.
It was not hey, listen, you know, this is a place where I want to live, I want to move to, I want to be.
Well, I mean, you know, when I went down to interview for the job, I said, hey, even if I don't get this job, I think I'd like to live down here.
Now, what job did you interview for, if I may ask? I'm going to say, if I may ask, almost every time I ask a question.
Fair enough.
One of the things that I have noticed about myself is that I repeat sayings.
No, I'm the same way.
It's and as I'm doing it, I'm saying, I'm speaking to myself saying, don't say that. Like, why are you saying for me? Like, why are you starting off every sentence before you give an opinion with, well, for me?
Right. So I went down there to be a financial investor.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A financial investor, which is basically
like an investment guy. You
give me your money.
Right.
I'm going to invest it.
Right.
I'm going to take a cut.
Exactly.
And hopefully you make some money.
Yes.
What a glorious job.
But I hated it.
Oh, you actually did it for a while.
I did it for probably like 3 or 4 months after I passed all the tests and everything.
Did you take the Series 7?
Series 7, Series 63.
I only know about the Series 7 because I watched Boiler Room.
Well, and the company that I went to work for, mm-hmm. it literally was Boiler Room. Like, that's how bad it was.
It was really, that was it.
Yeah. So I burned out very quickly. Left that job, took the job at a front desk job at a hotel.
Well, back up a second. Right. What were you, walk me through what exactly you were doing as the financial investor.
I mean, it was all cold calling.
Oh, that's brutal.
You know, you would call from like 9 to 5, and then you would take a dinner break, and then you'd come back, and you'd do a few more hours of calls to the West Coast.
Ouch. Now, what were you pitching?
Was
it your company services? Was it a specific stock offering?
It was services mostly. We were more into funds, more into mutual funds, less stocks. So it was more pushing, you know, bring me on board. We'll do a full financial analysis and then we'll recommend a series of products for you.
Now, how qualified were you at this moment to be giving recommendations about financial advice?
A lot of it was provided to you. So, you know, the big thing was getting them to sign up to get, like, the analysis done.
Okay.
Like, I wasn't going to, like, get on the phone with you and tell you at the end of your phone call, you know, what the advice was going to be. It really was a case of, let's talk about, you know, what you want to invest and what your
and people are just straight up hanging up on you.
Oh yeah, I mean, it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
So glorious.
So ended up quitting that. Took a job at a front desk of a hotel to make ends meet, and ended up making a career of it. That was 23 years ago.
So
25 years ago.
Did you ever think that was a career you were going to end up in?
No, but I had no idea what I was going to end up in.
I don't think anybody. And those are the people that scare me the most.
The people that know what they want to do.
The kids in high school. The kids in to sit there and say to an 18-year-old, "What do you want to do with the rest of your life?" Is an unrealistic question. I don't believe anybody has a maturity level, which freaks me out because there are people that do know.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, what level of savant are you that you're a sophomore in high school and you know you want to do like DNA engineering?
Right. I mean, there's out there, kids are doing code today. Kids are,
kids are doing coke out there. I know.
Code.
It's crazy.
Code.
It's crazy.
Well, and coke too, I'm sure.
Well, if you're going to do in code, you're going to need some type of upper.
So what questions do you have about Philadelphia?
Is it really as... And obviously, I imagine you're going to have some examples, or maybe the answer is no. But are the residents of Philadelphia and the area around it as savage as the reputation for it? Because you, as somebody who's visited Philadelphia,
right,
never lived there, never thought about it, but the impression you get from it is that... It is a crazy town, and not as in like a crazy party town,
right?
But just it's literally what is considered normal behavior in that city is probably the kind of stuff that would get you arrested in most other towns.
I would argue that. I know that's how the media portrays it.
You mean the mainstream liberal media,
the lamestream media. But no, I mean, I do think, I do think Philly, especially Philly sports fans, get a bad rap, and the toughest people on Philadelphia are Philadelphians. I mean, there was always
really
actually,
how so?
Well, they've always had this, they've always wanted to compete on the same level, either tourism wise
right.
or business wise with New York City and DC. And it was a very self-defeating attitude. I mean, there was actually, a promotional campaign years ago that said, Philadelphia isn't as bad as Philadelphians say it is.
And that was their marketing pitch.
That was the marketing pitch. Yeah.
Wow! So, like right off the bat, low self esteem.
Right, exactly,
they're just chopping themselves off at the knee.
So, I mean, one thing I would say is people in Philadelphia are very passionate. They're passionate about their neighborhoods. They're passionate about their sports teams. There is that element. But
passionate about their cheesesteaks.
Exactly.
Their hoagies.
The roast pork and broccoli rabe.
Yes.
But is there that element that causes trouble? But I don't think it's any worse than any other city. I think it's just it's on the front of people's mind right now because the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Because some people partied a little too hard.
That was a release of pent up celebrating that had not been released in a while.
Exactly. I mean, it was one thing when the Phillies won.
Mm-hmm.
But, the Phillies had won in 1980, so it wasn't, even though it had been 28 years, there was a very reserved celebration. Like, you have, the majority of Philadelphians had never witnessed an Eagles championship victory.
Had they won a Super Bowl?
They hadn't won a Super Bowl, but they had won some NFL championships prior to there being a Super Bowl.
Got it.
In fact, a little trivia fact for you here. The Philadelphia Eagles are the only team that Vince Lombardi lost to in a championship game in his career.
I don't know that my life is any better knowing that piece of trivia.
Well, I'm just giving it to you regardless.
I'm asking you to raise the stakes.
I'll try.
If you're going to drop knowledge on me, drop something that's going to make me a better person.
I will drop a little bit more knowledge on you. I can tell you that there were more arrests in the New England area after the Super Bowl than there were in the Philadelphia area.
Now, is that because the Philadelphia Police Department just kind of put their hands up in the air and just backed away and said, we're just going to let this happen because it's going to be worse if we try to stop it?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. There was some of that.
I would say there was probably a lot of that.
But you know, for what you saw on for every negative thing you saw on the news, there was multiple other, you know, more heartwarming celebrations going on.
Well, let's turn this into a personal approach.
Okay.
Now you don't live within the confines of Philadelphia, but
correct.
You're suburban Philadelphia.
Yes.
Now, how much horse feces did you eat as part of your celebration of the Super Bowl?
You know, I can't say that I had any.
Okay.
But again, I think that's a perfect example.
Now, is that also because you didn't have the you weren't exposed to horse feces on the streets out in your town?
Not in my town.
So had there been a horse that had been trotted out in the streets of your town who defecated while walking those streets, and then suddenly Tom Brady gets sacked, fumbles the ball with a minute left in the game, you lose all control of yourself, you run to the streets, you take your cause public, you walk across, I wouldn't say a steaming pile, it's not steaming anymore.
No, it was winter. It was probably lukewarm, you know, at that point.
It probably had a warm oatmeal type, you know, consistency at that moment. How much of that would you drop to your knees? How much of it do you eat?
I mean, I don't know where I can find in my mind something that I would celebrate by eating horse manure.
Okay.
That's just me.
All right. See, and that's where I would say you're not a true Philadelphian.
Now, I will say this. I think we have all done some stupid things when we've been drinking, and I think that is what you saw a lot of.
I would love to be able to track down that person that was filmed eating the horse feces and have his parents interviewed, have his girlfriend interviewed, because you know she wasn't pleased with him the next day.
No, I have to imagine.
Like, at some point he came in for a kiss and she just said, no.
No,
you need to back off.
Yeah. You need to boil your face.
Did you just recently eat an oatmeal cookie? No? So what's that between your teeth? Okay, get away from me. You know, like where is the, and I guarantee you within his bro circle.
Right.
And I'll call, I'm not afraid. I can guarantee you he has a bro circle.
I would probably place money on that.
He was celebrated for the eating of.
Oh, yeah.
Yet, I would love to talk to the people within his circle that were horrified by that behavior.
Maybe that's a documentary you can do. You can really do it.
It's actually not a bad idea. Find the guy who ate the horse feces and just, like, where is he now?
Right.
Like, shouldn't he have, if in any other instance, he would have lost his job.
I believe he ended up being the grand marshal of the Super Bowl parade.
I wouldn't be surprised in that town. I mean, think about it. In Charlottesville, you know, they had a parade. Didn't go very well. You know, people actually lost their jobs partaking in that parade.
I don't know that I would go as far as to equate the Super Bowl parade with a white supremacist parade.
No, I'm not comparing them in sense of ethnic breakdown.
Okay.
That's not what I was going for, was the zealous support for your cause. And I'm not saying I agree with one or the other. Frankly, I despise the Eagles.
Fair enough.
Okay. But I'm just saying that in Charlottesville, people were photographed. Their photographs were spread across the internet. There was a movement of find who these people are. We need to take them down. You know, those people that stood on the awning at the Ritz-Carlton.
Right.
Has there been any effort made to identify them?
Yes.
And ruin their lives?
I don't know that there has been an effort made to ruin their lives, but the Philadelphia Police Department has been very good in, you know, distributing the images that they had of people that, not just for the awning, but for other acts of vandalism and burglary and things like that. And
okay, no, those are legitimate crimes.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to break into somebody's store, you know, you deserve to be arrested.
Right. But, you know, and for public damage, you deserve to be. I mean, you know, people turned over cars, and I think everybody that turned over that car ended up being arrested. I mean, the Philly police, you know, again, and I can't say that I fault a Philadelphia police officer, you know, being one person in the middle of thousands that, you know, rightfully probably says, you know, if I try to arrest someone, this could go sideways pretty quickly.
Right.
So I think they, you know, I think the Philly police maintained the situation as best they could. And then, you know, they've been very good, you know, post Super Bowl celebration, you know, finding the people that really crossed the line.
Okay, the kid that ate the horse feces crossed the line. Like, we as a society have a expectation of behavior.
But I don't think, there's not a law against that. I mean, it should be common sense, but yeah, there's no law against eating.
And apparently, in either Washington or Oregon, there are no laws that say you can't do other things to horses.
Apparently.
Okay. And I'm saying that dude crossed the line, and why am I fixated with that dude?
I'm not quite sure. You do seem to be getting a little fixated.
I do. I have that, but I have that overall ability to find a subject and then just overly dwell on it.
Well, that's why we did our talk show, is we would just overly dwell on things for hours. I mean, we've been overly dwelling on things for almost 5 hours now.
One of the things I would like to overly dwell on is why nobody's called.
Well, we had...
Do we have any listeners? Is there anybody?
We did have two phone calls. One was Scott on his way to work.
The other one was a engineer.
And the other was the engineer needing to be let into the building.
Is he still here? Do we know or no?
I don't know. The lights are off in production now, so it might just be back to us again. But hey,
I was more comfortable when he was not here.
Well, yeah, we like doing our own thing. But
what else? What other topics do we have? Getting back to Philadelphia.
Okay.
Do you feel that Philadelphia is worse than other cities?
I do not.
What is the most redeeming character of Philadelphia as a city? And if you say it's the cheesesteaks, I'm going home with you today. We're getting some.
I mean, honestly, I think the history of Philadelphia is the best thing about the city.
You got me there, my friend.
There is a lot to be learned.
You got the Liberty Bell.
You got the Liberty Bell, but you've got the Jewish American Museum. You've got the art museums. You've got the Constitution Center. You've got, you know, the President's House. You know, there is a lot to be learned. And I think, you know, kind of what we were talking about earlier today, talking about the decline of America and the decline of our civilization, you know, I think it's even more important for people to maybe pay less attention to all the nonsense that's going on today and maybe go back to seeing where we came from.
So how do we go from the founding fathers to LeVar Bell?
LeVar Ball. You keep calling him Bell.
I call him Bell. I intentionally mispronounce his name because I believe his name is actually Bell.
Okay.
Changed it to Ball.
All right.
So he could come up with his Baller brand.
Big Baller brand.
I refuse to even give him the Big Baller. He's just Baller brand.
I mean, you know, I think that, you know, he is...
I think LeVar Bell did a hip-hop show
back in 83,
yes.
I will say this. I think LeVar Ball is an example of, you know, what people feel that they need to do these days
for
attention, to be heard above the din, to of all the noise. You know what I mean? You've got so many TV channels and you know, entertainment options out there, and how are you going to raise yourself above everybody else and do it inexpensively? You know, if you're not going to spend money on a marketing campaign, if you're your own promoter, you know, am I a fan? No doubt about it. He annoys the hell out of me, but I will say he is really doing something that, you know, if he is successful at it,
which I hope he's not,
changes the game completely.
Oh, it's part of the decline of this country. It is the I'm going to make my own reality, whether it's true or not, but I'm going to say it because I want it to be out there, and I'm not going to allow anyone to tell me that it's not true.
But the flip side of the coin is, you know, he is extremely supportive of all his kids.
Now he's exploitive of them.
You could look at it either way.
He took a 16-year-old kid out of school and made him move to Lithuania to play basketball.
But, you know, is that kid now going to be set for life financially?
No.
Because of that?
No, that kid looks handicapped. He looks handicapped.
I just don't even want to go there with it.
If you look at the three boys, you can actually see the DNA degradation from the kid that's currently playing for the Lakers down to that youngest one. The youngest one is a mouth breather. He's a bona fide mouth breather. Like, the look on his face when every time I've ever seen him has been a look of, duh. And that's the kid. And that kid, he's the one that needs to be in school. He should be taking classes. Somebody needs to teach him how to breathe out of his nose. I don't even know his name.
The opinions expressed on the Ron and Brian show.
23-year-old giant.
All right, we won't play the disclaimer again.
We've got 29 minutes, so I'm trying to make the most of it.
I guess my point is...
So you're saying we should eliminate all the Ball brothers?
No, I don't believe I'm saying that.
I thought that's what you were saying. I was hearing that.
But, we were talking earlier about how when people try and raise themselves up, and then people beat them down for it.
Right.
You know, here you have a guy who's trying to help his kids circumvent the control that NBA has on its players.
Right.
On what the players are able to do from a marketing perspective. You know, he said, all right, he's like, I'm not going to sign a contract with Nike. I'm not going to sign a contract with Adidas. I'm just going to start my own shoe company.
Which would be great, but his shoes are garbage.
I'm not saying that, he's not breaking a few eggs along the way. But,
well, you know what? Maybe he's breaking the mold, starting a trend, doing a poor job of it, and there will be a NBA player or parent or whatnot down the line that will do it in a much more styled and in a way that actually makes things better than worse.
Right.
I'm all for progress.
Right. I think your issue is he is doing it by, working within the perverted system that, has become, the American media machine.
But it's the audacity of sitting there saying, I'm going to take my 16-year-old son out of school, I'm going to take him to Lithuania, and because he's a mouth breather, I'm going to shove horse feces in his mouth until literally he makes like 8 three-pointers in a game. Which is not difficult because you're playing against in the Lithuanian league, not top notch competition. I'd like to point out.
Do you follow the Lithuanian league closely?
I'm going to tell you something. It is some of the best middle. We have a phone call. Let's take it. Let's put this on the air. Let's see who it is. Right. I will argue it's DJ and a half needs to get in the building.
All right, you're on the Ron and Brian show.
Hey. Your favorite engineer again.
All right.
Well. Are you locked out?
Yeah, you know where I'm at.
All right. We'll see you in a few.
Thank you, my man.
I got a my man.
My man.
I like it.
My man.
I got a my man from a millennial. He didn't call me Pops.
Right.
He didn't call me bro.
Nope.
Didn't get
all.
A dude.
Nope. Not at
got
all.
Got him a man.
All right. I can play a little clip here. To give you about a minute 43 if you want to run down, or I can run down.
I'm going to run down. I got no problem running down. You're manning the board. If you left me alone, I wouldn't know what to do with that.
I understand.
So I will be back.
We'll be back in just a moment. And we're back.
Yes, we are.
So just a reminder, people can call. You got 24 minutes left. Or you can just listen to us ramble. Or
can I vent for a moment?
Most certainly.
Okay. Newest thing that irks me.
All right.
All righty.
What grinds your gears?
It's on Facebook.
All right.
They have a feature, apparently, where when it's your birthday,
mm-hmm.
you might be able to do this at any time, but I've noticed it lately for people with birthdays, where because it's their birthday, what they do is they send out some message that they are going to use it as a excuse for fundraising.
Yes.
So it's instead of sending me a happy birthday message,
correct.
I would like you to donate $20 to a pet charity
or clean water campaign.
Yeah. Or
yeah.
Hey, restore electricity to Puerto Rico.
Right.
You know, I mean, just places where your money's not being well spent.
Okay.
And this just goes back to the overall, you know, just self-centeredness, you know, it's all about me and whatnot. But your birthday should not be a reason for me to donate money to something.
That's very cynical.
More cynical
than usual.
I don't think so.
All right.
I literally just got a request from somebody I've never even met that said she invited me to donate to, hold on, I've never met her, so I'm going to call this out. I think this actually is for Puerto Rico. Yeah, I'm such a piece of garbage. I'm such a piece of garbage. I said it jokingly, Puerto Rico, but it's something for Puerto Rico. She wants to raise $500. Like, those poor people have no electricity and a government that doesn't care about them. And here I am just sitting there just mocking it. And you know what? I'm not even going to donate. I'm not even going to donate.
That could have been your one good deed for the week.
I want to do better.
You could have knocked it out right
nope.
today.
No. That's the easy way.
All right.
This week, I'm going to do something better than that.
So you're not going to take a shortcut?
No, not at all.
That's fair.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
I have faith in you.
Faith Ballerman? You have faith Ballerman in me.
And I am anxious to see in the coming week.
Okay.
What's happening.
I will do something. I don't know what.
So we were talking about LeVar Ball.
Yes, we were.
Big baller brand. Any other thoughts?
Nah, it's just the loudness of it. It's what you said earlier, you know, it's for me to be noticed, I have to speak louder than everyone else in the room. And the fact that the mainstream liberal media just keeps shoving a camera in his face, putting a microphone there. It's the same, it's why give attention to something that's unworthy of it?
So is that his fault or is that the fault of ESPN?
It's the fault of our whole society. Because we listen. We don't have to listen.
Clearly. You know, as we experience,
ouch.
People don't have
even
to listen.
That one hurt. But it's the same argument with, you know, every time there's some sort of mass murder or whatnot. You know, why do we publicize the killer's name? Right. Why do we spend more time talking about the killer and what was he doing before? What led up to it? When did he snap?
Right.
Well, when because, at the know. End of the day, you're not worthy of my attention.
Right.
You are a lunatic, and I don't need to know about you.
I mean, do you think the advent of 24-hour news helped to the decline of America?
No, I think the 24-hour news was before. I think it was the, I think it really just became this. I think it's a recurring. You said it when you said earlier that there's just so many different channels of information out there that each one is doing their best to try to grab your attention
right.
for whatever period of time. Because one of the things I've noticed is if you put on a news channel, is that eventually they're just going to start looping the same story they've already told before.
Right. And not everything is breaking news.
No,
like
not
CNN's
at all.
The worst at that.
Like,
breaking news, president arrives at Mar-a-Lago. Well, that's not breaking. That's a Friday in a typical week these days.
Exactly.
And it's not really news.
It's not news.
But they claim it that way. And again, I think we talked about it earlier, is, you know, newscasters want to be personalities more than read the news.
I have a great idea. Why don't we just play like a half an hour from 2 hours ago and just call it a day? Because apparently right now we've hit the point where we're just like, well, as we said earlier, and as I repeat, you know, I just want to repeat something.
Well, yeah. But like I remember, you know, I still somewhat watch CNN on the weekends.
Is that your go-to news information?
I mean,
where do you get your news nowadays?
I get it from various places online. You know, I'll watch CNN. You know, I just I kind of search around and see what all I can read.
Mm-hmm.
CNN is the less abrasive of the choices.
Yeah, I can't.
But
do
even
that.
Still, like you know, Jake Tapper was on a few weeks back, and he's interviewing Stephen Miller. Who is a horrible individual. We all know
Stephen Miller.
He's one of the advisors to President Trump.
Is he the bald guy?
Yeah.
Okay, I know him.
And, you know, it seems
he's like 30. He's not even old enough to have an opinion. And yet he's like making national policy.
And it's like, you know, and Jake starts off with some standard questions, but it seems like he was more just trying to get like these little zingers in at the end of each of them, where
right.
it was more like he's trying to get like that, you know, that moment that's going to go viral, you know, versus trying to actually get some news.
There's a weird beeping noise going on.
The station's going to self-destruct shortly.
Well, I think this usually happens whenever you hit a five-hour stretch. Now, is that coming from inside this room?
It's the fire alarm. So what we're going to do is we're going to pot up this little automatic show right here.
Oh, are we actually concerned about a fire alarm?
Well, we probably should evacuate the building.
All right, all right, all right.
So we have been informed that laws do not apply to us here. Rules do not apply.
No, I thought it was the opposite. I think that we were told that rules override us.
All right, that's true.
And I don't think you or I agree with it, and we're not happy about it, but we do accept it. Sometimes, you know, the Federal Communications Commission comes in and starts dropping the bombs, dropping knowledge on us. I'm not sure it's a coincidence that the fire alarms just went off in this building. I am not afraid.
It's a conspiracy.
When you're dead on the inside, you're not afraid to die on the outside. So I'm willing to bring whatever the good Lord wants to bring. So Cue the gospel music.
Do you feel the Illuminati is behind this?
No, but what I said to DJ and a half when you were outside the room was, listen, if I'm going down today, I don't mind that I'm doing it in this room with you.
There you go.
And I'm going to say the same thing to you, buddy.
I feel the same way.
All right, good.
Well, all right, maybe if I had to go, I'd go
all right,
with
so,
my wife. But.
So let's, really, you would say that? Is that only because she's listening?
Of course
that you
not.
Feel you have to say that?
Of course not.
Of course not. Okay, so why are you winking at me?
You know.
Okay, so we've been on the air. This is where I think it's time to start wrapping up. Do you agree?
I think so. I think we're at that point. We'll be broadcasting live from Brubaker Hall shortly.
We have no idea what they're going to be doing. Do we have any? What are they going to be doing when they're from there? Because it's a 3-hour show. So
they talk about the early days of the radio station when it was down on the.
So it's going to be another talk show.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, why is it that people just are constantly ripping us off?
I mean, when you do something and you do it as well as we do. That's when you get the imitators. You get the haters and you get the imitators.
Because I sat there and was like, hey, Ron, let's do a talk show. And now suddenly it's like, hey, when you guys are done, we're going to do another talk show.
We're going to roll. And I think even the roundtable last night qualified as a talk show.
Another just blatant theft of our ideas. And, you know, I've never received one penny of royalty money.
And I would wonder where is the thanks? You know, we kept,
I think the thanks was doing a 5-hour slot that was just handed to us by the generosity of Bill McCann.
We kept the station on the air for 5 hours.
I would love, there's no pat on the back.
Although, I mean, I guess technically we could have put that pre-recorded show on.
We also could have just walked out.
We could have.
But what was more important? Was it giving the public just pre-recorded noise? No, it wasn't.
It was bringing it to the people.
It was bearing our hearts, our souls. Everything. We did it all.
Do you think people understand you more now?
I think I understand me more. And at the end of the day, I think that's more important.
That's touching.
Thank you. How would you say goodbye right now? Not to me.
Not to me?
Not to the listeners, but to life. Because the fire alarm is still going off. I don't see any fire engines coming to this building.
Oh, there is a fire truck now coming up the road.
Oh, interesting. Interesting, interesting.
Standing outside.
Now, if this was Philadelphia, I'd be throwing D batteries at the firemen and firewomen. If I would dare call them heroes, they're the first responders.
True.
So I think, you know, if ultimately, if this was Philadelphia, I would be throwing D batteries at them. Because that's the way Philly rolls.
That's old school Philly. That is very old school.
Yeah, there really is a fire engine
there
coming
is.
Here. You know, I will say this, as somebody who lives in New York City, is the fact that you reach a point where you are just dulled by the noise. And I'm not afraid of a fire alarm.
You shouldn't be. The fire you should be afraid of. But I don't think it's an actual situation.
The odds of it are so small.
Very
I'm willing
slim.
To take those odds. It's the gambling side
when
of it.
When are they going to put a snooze button on a fire alarm?
It would be great.
Know, sometimes you just need 5 more minutes.
I just looked over there to see if I could disarm it. I genuinely did. And it looks pretty well locked up.
And I got to say, you were talking about Facebook. I think one of my favorite new Facebook features is being able to snooze somebody for 30 days.
I didn't even know you could do that.
You can.
Is that for everyone now?
That is for everyone now.
Yes.
What was it before?
It
was like a beta?
It was like a beta, yeah.
Oh, yeah. A couple of people had it. But I always thought that, like, people go on vacation and there's 900 pictures of where they are and what they're doing for, and you know, you don't like seriously hate the person, but
right, like
I just don't want to see your vacation, yeah, like at all.
I accepted Scott Kingsley's friend request yesterday, and I would say within 2 hours I had already snoozed him for 30 days.
I love it. Speaking of snoozing, I think it's time for you and I to
we got to find a little breakfast, I think.
Oh, I think there's only one type of breakfast we can do.
And then, you know, we've got to get back to our regular lives.
I know. It was a good time. It was a great memory.
We will be looking at the possibility of a potential podcast, but yeah, you know.
I think you got about 5 of them that from today that you could cut up.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, we've really got the first month.
Now, would we be able to do that? Or is that type of copyright violation?
You probably want to cut the phone number out and that sort of thing.
No, not at all. I say leave it in.
What about because then the people will call it.
Nobody's going to listen. Nobody will listen to our podcast. We have to build
that's
up.
That's a fair point.
Exactly. We probably have to cut the music out, too. I think that's...
The music would have to be cut out.
I'm okay with that.
If only we had someone that could edit this for us.
We've got to... If only.
If only.
If only. If only.
Oil.
DJ and a half, I want to thank you for making this possible.
Thank you, sir.
All the talking. I just pushed the button.
Had it not been for the security that you offer, I don't know I would have been as confident walking in here being like, we've got this.
I mean, this man came in, he was here at 4:15 this morning when he didn't have to be. And
no.
He stayed with us here for a while, and he showed us the importance of where the dump button is.
In fact, he hasn't had to. And by the way, I'd like to, we needed the dump button.
Yeah, we'll tell you. We'll tell
on
you.
On two
we'll
different
you.
Occasions
tell me
we
later.
Needed
we'll
it.
Tell you some stories. And I would even like to thank Scott Kingsley.
Absolutely.
He did not need to get up early either. He's got a long work day ahead of him, so he brought his perspective here.
Yes, he did.
As skewed and warped as it is.
Kept us entertained for an hour and a half.
And for you, sir, I appreciate your friendship.
No.
And I appreciate the
Stop
show.
Stop it. Stop it. I appreciate you more.
And I think there's just...
I think TJ and a half is on the phone. But I believe he has a Halloween ringtone.
Right, we gotta wrap it up, guys.
All right, we're gonna wrap it up. But stay tuned. The reunion weekend continues, and we're gonna go live to Brubaker Hall and WSUA memories and fond recalls. And
Shortly. Quick break, and then we'll do that.
Quick break.
Sounds good to me.
All right, thank you, people. Enjoy.